Live from KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. A judge in Anchorage has set arguments for January in a case challenging the state's rejection of an effort to recall Alaska Governor Mike Dunleavy. The Recall Dunleavy group sought arguments in December. Anchorage Daily News reports attorneys for the state and a group opposing the recall argued hearings in January are faster than a normal civil case and that it's prudent to move deliberately. Margaret Patton Walsh, an attorney for the state, suggested the court could hold oral arguments in January. Superior Court Judge Eric Arseth said that was a reasonable plan. It's expected that Arseth's decision, whatever it is, will be appealed to the Alaska Supreme Court. Anger over budget vetoes helped fuel the recall push. Dunleavy reversed or moderated some of his positions on the cuts. A new FBI report says Alaska has the nation's highest rate of sexual assault and violent crime, and it's increased in the state. Alaska Public Media reported that the 2018 statistical analysis from the agency's Uniform Crime Reporting Program says Alaska does not conform to a general national decline in violent crime. The annual report uses statistics from law enforcement agencies to provide an analysis of crime at the national, state, and municipal levels. The report says violent crime in Alaska increased by 3% from 2017 to 2018, while falling 3% nationally. The report says Alaska saw an 11% increase in the number of sexual assaults reported to law enforcement, while nationally there were 2.7% more assaults. The FBI says Alaskans reported four times more sexual assaults than the national rate. In the five-month cruise ship season, the city and borough of Juneau receives millions of dollars in fees and sales taxes from cruise ship passengers. It's enough to pay each permanent resident over $700. It doesn't, so where does all the money go? I scoured 20 years of city finance documents to bring you this story.
Photos with the eagle guys?
Yeah.
In the summer, downtown Juneau's waterfront bustles with up to six big cruise ships a day. With them comes an influx of tens of thousands of passengers and crew and money. Just for showing up, each cruise ship passenger pays taxes to Juneau's municipal government.
My name is Marilyn, Marvelous Marilyn, and I am on the Star Princess.
And if you were to guess how many dollars you paid to the city and borough of Juneau through your trip, how much do you think you paid for visiting?
In taxes, let's see. Would only be a guess. I would say one-third of my taxes because they're taking us to three places. So I paid $3,000 for my cruise, and I guess 1,000 of it was taxes.
She paid Juneau a lot less than that, about $13 through three similar but separate passenger fees or head taxes. Since collection began, Juneau has racked up north of $170 million total in cruise ship passenger head taxes. Legally, that money is only supposed to be spent on things that directly benefit the ships. And yet, about $55 million of it has paid for public services to help manage the crowds. Like this visitor center, built with head tax money on the waterfront, where two volunteers are answering visitors' questions and handing out maps.
So you're right down here at the information center.
Yes.
So it's called the Mount Roberts Trail,
yes.
And it's about a mile.
Yes.
$2 million has gone to the nonprofit that runs this center and other visitor information desks around town. Another $2 million for summer crossing guards, like Julia Greenelsh.
I get a lot of questions on where is the washroom. The washroom is the restroom. I always get confused because I thought it was the wash, like the coin laundry.
And how about those public washrooms? Over $1 million for extra seasonal cleaning. You might have noticed airplanes taking off in the background. Those are float planes. They take visitors flight seeing and to remote lodges, and they used to be louder. The city spent $75,000 on noise abatement and flight seeing mediation. With all the extra people in town, Officer Jim Quinto helps keep the peace.
Yeah, I do a lot of laps around town.
$1.5 million for downtown foot and bike patrols. The list goes on and on, and seems to touch everything in Juneau, even the public radio and public television station where I work. KTOO got hired in 2003 with $15,000 in cruise ship head taxes to produce this outdoor safety video.
Dad, I heard a noise. Is that you? Where are you?
I'm right over here.
Featuring locals,
right,
acting out what can go wrong on hikes. But the short answer for where the head tax money has gone is we're standing on it. The Seawalk, the city's waterfront boardwalk. Most of the head tax money has gone right back into the big-ticket waterfront infrastructure serving the cruise ships. Captain Inga Torhauga runs Cunard's Queen Elizabeth, which made its first ever port call in Juneau in May. She'd been to Alaska years ago, working on much smaller ships. That was before most of this infrastructure was built.
So with the height of the docks and with the tides and all these things, at that time we didn't have these beautiful floating docks as you have now. So there was quite a challenge with such a small ship with gangways, etc. So.
Beautiful, city-owned, visitor-funded floating docks that move up and down with the tide. Locals didn't come up with the $54 million it cost to reconfigure and build what are basically two huge cruise ship parking spaces. The tide here can rise or fall 20 feet or more, so fixed docks can be a real headache. Head taxes aside, the city has another thing going for it. Collectively, cruise ship visitors this season paid the city another estimated $11 million in sales taxes. Unlike the head taxes, there are no strings attached to that money. It'll be spent on schools and firefighters and building inspectors, all the stuff local governments do everywhere. The visitor industry is Juneau's biggest private sector employer. Its total payroll is a close second to the mining industry, which is to say, economically speaking, cruise ships are gold mines. Except this gold floats, comes to us, and will probably never run out. In Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea. That story was adapted from an episode of KTOO's podcast, Cruise Town, which is out now. You can listen and subscribe on podcast apps and at ktoo.org/cruisetown. Alaska Department of Transportation is considering how to act on a study addressing issues within the Alaska Marine Highway System, including an aging fleet and decreased ridership. The Alaska Journal of Commerce reported Wednesday that the study conducted over spring and summer by a private firm evaluated 11 options for overhauling the network of vessels. The system's budget has been cut in half since its peak of $111 million in fiscal year 2012, and service levels have been cut about 25% over that time. Officials say ridership has declined from about 350,000 ferry passengers in 1998 to 251,000 passengers in 2018. Officials say 10 of the state's 12 ferries average 37 years old, and 6 ferries are more than 40 years old. 2 ferries are docked and awaiting sale. As the partial ferry shutdown enters its second week in Southeast Alaska, small communities are trying to find alternative means of bringing groceries and other essentials to their residents. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, Southeast lawmakers continue to press the Dunleavy administration to restore service to 4 communities abruptly cut off when their ferries were indefinitely laid up for repairs.
The southeast community of Pelican is a city of less than 100 people on Chichagof Island. It's been 2 weeks since the Alaska Marine Highway abruptly announced there'd be no ferries for the foreseeable future. Pelican Mayor Walt Weller says he's been on the phone with state officials, chamber groups, and legislators.
And I've been communicating with everybody that'll listen and a few people that won't.
There's no airport or barge service. The only link is a daily service to Juneau via seaplane. But that's not economical to bring building supplies, let alone a household's food. A salmon troller has already been pressed into service to fill the gap.
We have already started having one of the local fishing boats go back and forth to Juneau, to keep our supply chain open. It doesn't work well with people. He can't transport people on it, of course, and it takes 12 to 14 hours for a fishing boat to make that trip.
There's a Juneau-based freight company that normally supplies the town. J&S Freight is run by husband and wife Greg and Donica Giroux.
We have a massive fleet of 4 trucks, but we do fill them almost every ferry.
So we're the grocery store, we're the hardware store, we're whatever they need.
But J&S also relies on ferries, so after 18 years, its trucks are parked empty in Juneau. It's not just Pelican. The communities of Angoon, Gustavus, and Tenneke Springs are cut off. And larger towns like Hoonah, Cake, Haines, and Skagway have seen service reduced this winter. That's all after the state balked at repairing the ferry Lecanti when it learned that a scheduled overhaul would cost $4 million more than budgeted. A letter penned Monday by Southeast legislators to the governor and transportation commissioner says this isn't a valid reason to hamstring these communities, and it can be fixed.
We're talking about sort of, you know, fairly post-statehood levels of transportation infrastructure, and it's like going back in time.
That's Representative Jonathan Christ Tompkins, a Sitka Democrat.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, we can advocate, we attempt to appropriate money. Sometimes our appropriations are vetoed, but it's in the hands of the executive branch. I mean, they run the ferry system.
He's among 5 Southeast lawmakers who signed the letter. The only name from Southeast not included is Sitka Republican Senator Bert Stedman. The state is letting an expensive maintenance issue be used to cut off entire communities, says Representative Dan Ortez, an independent from Ketchikan.
Our main mode of travel and our main transportation infrastructure is in jeopardy.
Lawmakers have urged the state to bring the Alaska-class ferries into service. The ferry Tasleena briefly entered service this spring, but it and its sister ship are due to have side doors installed this winter. Back in Pelican, Weller says the city is trying to figure out how to solve a looming problem with its sewer plant that's due for a pump out.
What I've done the last couple of years is bring two or three trucks out on the ferry to pump down our system so that we can maintain it correctly and not pollute the local waters. And without a ferry, I don't know how I'm going to do that.
In a brief statement Wednesday, transportation officials say the Alaska Marine Highway System is reviewing options to restore some service to the Northern Panhandle. The agency offered no specifics. An update on the repair schedule is expected later this week. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
A new interim director has been named to lead the combined agency that regulates alcohol and legal marijuana in Alaska. Governor Mike Dunleavy's office announced today that Glenn Klinkhart would be the interim director following the firing Wednesday of Erica McConnell. He's currently the director of drug policy for the state health department and former detective with Anchorage Police. President Trump's nominee to be the next Secretary of Energy says he would continue the quest to develop mini nuclear reactors that could one day power communities in rural Alaska.
We want to get to a place where we can develop small micro reactors, 1 to 5 megawatts.
Dan Briette is now the Deputy Energy Secretary. He spoke today at his confirmation hearing in the Senate Energy Committee. If confirmed, Briette would replace Secretary Rick Perry, who announced he would resign last month. And finally, rains throughout October and November mean Southeast Alaska is finally out of severe drought status for the first time since September of 2018, according to the U.S. Drought Monitor. However, places like Ketchikan, Wrangell, and Juneau are still in moderate drought. Places like Sitka, Hoonah, and Haines remain abnormally dry, though not in drought. Ketchikan International Airport, traditionally one of the wettest places in Alaska, got more than 20 inches of rain in October and has seen nearly 10 more since the beginning of the month. Latest conditions at Juneau International Airport, 47 degrees and light rain. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, November 14th, 2019. No newscast tomorrow. We're getting bumped by NPR's special coverage of the impeachment hearings. I'm Jeremy Shea. Thanks for listening.